All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read a scripture we've been talking about. We started with our first lesson on salvation in three different tenses, past tense, present tense, future tense, and then we said that we are three-part beings gleaned off of Scripture. In Scripture says we are a spirit, we have a soul, we have a mind, a will, and emotions, and we live in a physical body. And that's the present tense salvation, that we are being saved at this present moment. Our spirit was saved upon conversion. Our bodies will be saved when we lay this physical body down. When mortality takes up immortality, we shall receive our glorified bodies in heaven. Hallelujah. Who's looking forward to yours? Amen. Right. Who's doing something with yours right now? Oh, me. There's no oh, man. There's no amen. Just oh, me's. All right. Okay. So we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole, notice, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So who is it that's going to sanctify us through and through, sanctify us holy, if you have a King James Version, W-H-O-L-L-Y, or completely New King James Version, who's going to do this? God himself, the God of peace, right? There, the word peace, it's not talking about lack of anxiety. It's not talking about just peace of mind. The word peace in the Greek language is the Greek word eirene. Let me write that down. Eirene, and it means completeness and wholeness. Completeness and wholeness. So do you understand now why Paul the Apostle would begin his epistles with grace and peace be to you? So it's wholeness, completeness. That's what God wants for us. Go with me to Hebrews 4, please. Hebrews 4. Just take a right from 1 Thessalonians. Not very far. Who would like to read verse 12?
God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Okay, notice, the Word of God impacts what three parts of us? Did you see it?
Spirit.
Soul, spirit, and body. Because where are your joints and your marrow? Or marrow. However you pronounce it. How do you pronounce this, Miss Martha? Marrow? Tomato, tomato. Okay. Let's call the whole thing off. Okay, so notice the Word of God, we're going to come back to this thought. The Word of God impacts our soul, it impacts our spirit, and it even impacts our body. Now, let's get into the logistics of it, all right? We talked about how, if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, out of the Message Bible, it says that the God of peace will make you holy and whole. W-H-O-L-E. He'll make you healed, whole. How many of y'all know that a true holiness will always lead you to wholeness? Because true holiness is not dysfunctional living. True holiness is healthy living. It is the best kind of life that we can engage in. Now, since we're on this present tense soul salvation, we talked about how we get damaged through childhood experiences, through maybe the environments that we grew up in. Who would agree with me that we are, to a certain extent, products of our own environment? If you lived in a shame-based house, we were conditioned to respond to shaming. We were conditioned to respond to guilting more than anything else. And we'll have a big problem. Listen to what I'm saying. We'll have a very difficult time believing that our God loves us unconditionally.
Yeah, that's something that needs to be expressed continuously.
Continuously.
And it's not.
Absolutely agree with you, sir. So remember, last week we talked about how it is crucial for us at a young age to begin with a stage. John Eldridge wrote a book, The Wild at Heart, and then he wrote a sequel to that called The Way of the Wild at Heart. I've read both of them. And he talked that there are seven stages in a man's life. You know what? He didn't do a woman part or book for the women, but he says that men and women have to begin, the first stage is they have to begin with the realization that our God, that God calls us His own beloved child, son or daughter. That's a starting point. And if we grew up in a house where we were not the beloved son or the beloved daughter, then we need to go way back to first base, right? Because then we're going to start acting out of woundedness. And there are many, many different ways that we can act out of woundedness. You know, some people resort to controlling. They think control, that they can manage and control. If they manipulate, if they lie, if they hustle, if they, we're going to look into some new terms that I think it would be important for us to remember if we haven't already learned them. Who's ever heard of the term gaslighting? That's very toxic. When you're in a relationship where one or both partners try to convince the other person that all the problems in the household is because of the other person, that's gaslighting. That's mind messing. That's messing with your mind, trying to convince you that it's the narcissist trying to convince the other person that they're the problem, and the narcissist never accepts responsibility for all the damage they do in the relationship. And how many of us know narcissists can do an unbelievable amount of damage in a relationship? Amen? And it's gaslighting. They're saying, you're the problem. They're deflecting blame. They're deflecting responsibility. And they're saying the other person. Or what about triangulation? That's when the narcissist takes another person, brings them into the dysfunction of this couple, and uses that other person as a witness to testify against the victim. I remember a song by Alan Parsons Project, Games People Play. And how many of us know that people have learned, they've mastered the art of playing games dysfunctionally and in a very toxic way, right? And so can you imagine the number it does on people when they're growing up either in a toxic environment? Some churches, not this one, but some churches can be toxic, okay? When there's all this browbeating and this preaching on hell, but there's no talk about the love of God. I was once listening on a radio. It was a radio broadcast. I won't mention the name of the preacher. It's a well-known preacher. And he was talking about what you need to teach your children. And he said, you've got to teach your children that God is a consuming fire, that God loathes every ounce of their being because of their sin, that God... And I said, what? He was trying to teach parents how to teach their kids the holiness of God. I said, that's not the way to go about it. What we taught our kids was, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. How many of y'all know that that's good enough? And I thought, man, I can't believe, I'm glad I'm not your child, you know, when I heard that guy speaking on the radio, because once again, that's toxic. We've got to be very careful, church family, that we use the Word of God appropriately. Remember, it's called the Word of Grace, not the Word of the Law. Who believes with me, Galatians 3:13, that God, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law? You know what the curse is? If you do bad, you're going to get bad. Baby, don't preach the curses of the law to me. I'm redeemed. Because cursed is he who hung on a tree. Verse 14 goes on to say that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. You want to see the blessings? Look at the first, it's not even the first half. the first eighth of the chapter of Deuteronomy 28. I think it's the first 14 verses that speak of the blessings, and then the rest, 15 through about 69, speak of the curses. So 15 through 69 don't apply to me. Verse 1 through 14 apply to all of us. That's what Galatians 3 says, doesn't it? I'm redeemed from the curse of the law so that the blessings may come upon me. Whew, I preached myself happy already. Okay, so go with me to 3 John, please. You know where I'm headed with this verse. So we talked about wounds, and that if we don't heal those wounds, we're going to act out. I often say in my messages, what we don't work out, we're going to do what, church family? We're going to act out. Right? Who's ever seen a person that quit smoking? What happens when they quit smoking? They gain 30 pounds. It's just we trade one addiction for another. Okay, so who would like to read verse 2? Somebody would if you wouldn't mind reading verse 2 of 3 John, please.
And I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well.
There you go. Even as your soul is getting along well. What is God's will for our soul? That our soul does what? Prospers or gets along well. Isn't that what it says? Right? God wants the soul to be healthy and whole. So let's talk about why we have sometimes some people, the pursuit of holiness for them, really, which to me, the pursuit of holiness is tantamount to the pursuit of wholeness in Jesus, right? Because true wholeness and true holiness can only be found in Christ. Amen? In a relationship with Him. But how many of y'all know that we medicate differently with our wounds? I mean, the wounds are bad enough, but we find, let's use a biblical word, we find idols, little idols or big idols, to find comfort, to find relief, to find escape in. Can we go there tonight, church family? How many of y'all know this is pretty practical teaching? It gets quiet when we get practical. All right. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the obvious ones. Sex. Sex addiction is at an all-time high. Why? Because people think they can medicate through sex. You know, my eyes were open when I found myself divorced and I started engaging in the dating scene. I tried Christian Mingle, and I can tell you from my personal experience, some of those gals' values were no different than the ones in the culture. Can I talk about that a little bit, church family? In fact, I dated one Christian gal that was all about the friendship or the friends with benefits. When I found out that's what she wanted, I said, deuces, I'm out of here. I want a healthy relationship. I want a whole relationship. Come on, somebody. So,
it's all around.
It's everywhere. I was talking to Cindy today. You know, I had a stalker at Planet Fitness. Buckle your seatbelts. She's no older than Gabby. And she used my personal information on the computer at Planet Fitness to find out my email, my phone number, and everything. She contacted me on email, found out, she Googled me, found our church website, saw my photo, took a screenshot of my photo. This is why some people ask, Pastor Joe, you don't have your public page. Why don't you have your public page? Because of this. She sent me an email saying, I need to go to church. Well, that seemed innocent. At first I responded, I said, do I know you? She's like, I'm the gal that at Planet Fitness. Well, she did that on her last day, apparently. And she said she wanted to go to church. So I said, hey, Ken, she said, can we talk? And so I gave her my number and we were texting. And then all of a sudden, next thing I know, she sends me a provocative photo. And I said, sorry, I'm taken. I sent it to one of the guys that I'm accountable to. And I said, this is what I just got. He said, oh my. He said, don't tell your lady. I already told her. but I have no contact with that chick. This, it goes to the point, we live in a sexually, listen carefully, in a sexually sick society. And today, it doesn't take much for two strangers to get in bed together. Just give them loneliness. Work up, give them a little liquid courage. On Cinco de Mayo, that would be tequila, right? Oh, gosh, why do I always start meddling? Anyway, sex is one of them. What about alcohol? What's that, hon? Yes, yes, sir.
It's a cousin.
It's a cousin, an ugly cousin of the sex. Yes, it is.
Part of the mix.
It's part of the mix. Alcohol, alcoholism. I grew up with alcoholics. My older half-brother, my older half-sister, alcoholics. I saw the pain, the sorrow that they caused my mom, that they caused some of my siblings. And, you know, my older brother, I mean, we prayed for him. Mom is I love mom, and don't take this the wrong way, but she is the classic enabler. She'll enable, you know, everybody plays a role. How many of y'all know that in a dysfunctional family, everybody has a role to play? And they all enable the addict. There's the black sheep. There's the clown to try to keep everybody happy. Just a patch. It's like putting a Band-Aid over cancer. I can go on and on, but we'll just leave it at that. And I've seen what that substance can, how it can destroy. It's destroyed my older, half-older brother's relationship. His oldest son is behind bars in prison for decades because he was caught with a drug cartel in Georgia. He had access. He was accepting the drug cartels from Mexico. His younger brother was killed by the cops in a suicide by cop situation. I'm not making this up, guys. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up, because this was the base.
I spent a few years in that environment.
Yes.
And I would venture to say that it's probably the number one thing as far as causing damage.
Yes.
On the planet.
Right. Absolutely. Wine is a mocker. Isn't that what the book of Proverbs says? Okay, so that's a couple of, what else? Can somebody shoot some other ways that we choose to medicate? How about work? The patron saint in America, if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. This is pretty profound. The patron saint in America is the workaholic. I don't believe in laziness. I don't believe in slumber. I don't believe that if you're an able-bodied person and have a job but choose to collect unemployment because it'll be more money a week, I don't think you should do that. I think that's wrong to do that. I've gone on record Sunday morning. I'll go on record again to say that. I think you should work, because work is a gift from God. Can I get a witness, please? But how many of us know that we can take something good from the hand of God and make it an idol in our lives? And I think a lot of people escape through work. They don't want to feel. They don't want to feel. And let's pause everything and come to this point. How many of you would agree with me that we have to allow ourselves to feel the pain? We have to own the pain of our wounds for them to be healed. But often what we do is we stuff the pain. We don't want to feel it. It's too painful. It's too disgusting. It's too puzzling. It's too difficult to bear. So we stuff it. And as I once read in a book by Lewis Smeads, did you ever read after him? You're my little resident bookworm. Lewis Smeads, he said that we go to our graves with a compacted wad of unfelt emotion. Pretty profound, huh? And so it is important that we allow ourselves to feel the pain, that we embrace the pain, but bring Jesus into that healing process. There was a book written many, many years ago. I didn't have the privilege of reading it all. I just read portions of it. The Healing of Memories. Who remembers that? The Healing of Memories. You know, when it basically is, it was at the time, back in the, I want to say, late 70s maybe, it was where people, therapists, professionals, took people back to the point of their damage. And then, because they lived with all of these, the pain of these memories, that they invited Jesus back to those hurtful events and asked Jesus, as when they were children, to heal, begin the healing process of their memories to where they can grow on now with healed memories instead of damaged memories or painful memories. Who believes Jesus can do that? Who believes that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end? He's in my past, he's in my present, and he's in my future, all at the same time. So, alcohol, what about food? We won't go into depth. Who's ever heard of comfort food? Do people draw comfort from food? I remember many years ago, there was a there was a movie, there was a book out, and it became a movie, and the part of the movie, it has a plot in it, but then they go to excerpts of people, real people being interviewed, and there was this couple of black ladies, and they were like, oh, he dumped me, blah, 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 and she's just digging into this big quart of ice cream and just eating it straight out of the gallon, just, oh, honey, I'm telling you, I'm going to whoop his bleep, and I'm going to do this to him, and I'm going to pull her weave, and I'm going to, it just went on and on. He's just not that into you, thank you. It was a funny movie. If you want a night of laughter, get that movie. Because you see that she thought, she was hoping he was into her, but then they realized he was not at all into her, and she's kind of left with the egg on her face. And so anyway, but food, comfort food. We have many different idols. This is how we medicate. Let me ask you an obvious question. Do any of these, plus the many others that exist, do any of these heal our wounds?
No.
No. Who's ever seen Castaway with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Why was it that Tom Hanks, the character in that movie, when he was thirsty, he went to the coconuts to drink the coconut water instead of going to the sea or the ocean water and drinking from it. What happens with the ocean water? It's salt water. What happens to salt with salt water? It makes you worse. Makes you thirstier until you die because of the salt overload. Isn't that what these things do? Sex, food, work, etc., etc. I'm talking about to the nth degree. Isn't that what it does?
Well, there's no end to it. How about fishing on Sunday morning?
Yeah, preach it.
And sports issues.
Right.
We don't want to talk about that, right?
We don't want to talk about it. No, you're right. I remember when we were in Kansas, and the Ministerial Association saw how the school began to take more and more of Bible study nights. They started having sports on Wednesday nights, and we sent a letter to the school board saying we were not happy with that because people need to be in church, who want to be in church, but they were replacing that hour or hour and a half with a sporting event. I mean, it got bad to where they started having them on Sundays. And some of these were away games where you had to leave early in the morning, drive about 100 miles one way for a sporting event. So that meant you were not going to go to church that Sunday. It's still that way.
Shopping.
Stores
used to be closed on
Sundays. That's right.
And then 24/7.
Yes.
Shop.
I know. Shop. Shopaholics. I think Well, you're not to the point of Tammy Faye Baker. Why do you think they call it retail therapy, Miss? Oh, shopping, that's a great one. Yeah.
TV can be.
It's an escape. You know, people say, I don't have time to get in God's Word, but we'll watch 40 hours of television per week. You turkey, I don't have time to get in the Word.
Facebook,
I haven't been on much. Yeah, Facebook. Those are what I like to call time bandits. Can we call them that? Time bandits? They gobble up our time. Right?
And where did all this stuff come from?
Where'd all that, what stuff come from?
Everything we're talking about.
From the prince of the power of the air.
It's not a gift from God.
No. It can be used for good, but we have to exercise moderation now more than ever in all of these areas. Right? Because this is, these are not ways to medicate. Now, we said, we looked, go back with me to Hebrews chapter 4, please. We said that the Word of God works on three different levels of our being. Verse 12.
For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart.
Notice, what do we do when we get the living Word into our spirit and into our soul? Who believes that the Word of God can heal our soul? Right? Okay. Go with me to Psalm chapter 1, please. Talking about soul salvation. We're looking at the nuts and bolts of how we got to. We're explaining the process of sanctification in our soul. And let me say here, sanctification is strictly a soul matter. It's a mind, it's an emotion and will matter. Our spirits are already sanctified, right? Our bodies will be on the day of redemption. But our soul is where sanctification actually takes place. All right, who would like to read Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, please?
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Doesn't that kind of sound like 3 John verse 2, that all may be in health even as our soul prospers? Right? Soul prosperity comes from the Word, because it says whatever he does shall prosper. So let's talk about meditation in the Word, okay? Meditation. It is not a Hindu practice. It does not come from the Maharishi. Meditation. Can somebody explain what meditation in the Word is? Very good.
Taking your time.
Yes. Very good. How about chewing?
Like a cow.
Yes, that's right. Like a cow over and over. Chewing God's Word mentally. Chewing God's Word mentally.
That takes time.
It does take time. You have to set aside time. How many of us know that what we think of predominantly, didn't we already talk about that several weeks ago, that our predominant thoughts, our will follow our predominant thoughts, our actions will follow our will, which follows our predominant thoughts, right? What we focus on, to quote Miss Nola, grows. So let's say, why do you think the Bible calls the word it uses about the Lord is magnify the Lord? How do we magnify the Lord? Isn't it? What's that? Give him honor? Can we magnify the Lord within ourselves? We can, using meditation. What if I spent hours a day just meditating, just chewing on the fact that God has been good to me, and I think back over my life, and I think back of the ways He was over and abundantly good to me, even though I did not deserve any of that? Right? I do that often. You know, I have, you know what you start developing in your life? You start developing good strongholds. Who would like to have a stronghold of peace? Doesn't Isaiah chapter 54 says that great shall be the peace of your children and nothing shall offend them? Right? Or what about Isaiah 26:2? Let's turn there, please. We're talking about meditation in the Word. You will keep him in what kind of peace? In perfect peace, notice, whose mind is stayed on you. Isn't that biblical meditation? When my mind continually molds over how big God is, how able God is, how willing God is, how great of a blessing He is to me and mine, will I have a problem believing that He can perform the impossible on my behalf? No. But let's say all I think about, let's say I lend my predominant thoughts to worry, anxiety, to the news, it's going under. You know, I've seen it happen. We all, let's just get this out in the open, we all have a black belt in meditating on the negative. I remember my dad was a world-class heavyweight warrior. And I always, as a kid, I remember vividly trying to look for the reasoning behind his worry and his fear. And there was none. I remember the time when I was 14, he pulled me aside. He said, son, by the time you get my age, there probably won't be any natural resources in the world. There won't be water. There won't be electricity. And I'm thinking, says who? But that's all he had been. I mean, he would suck off of the television, the news, the newspaper. Did you want to say something, bro? No? Oh, okay, you were just waving at me. Okay. He would suck off of all that. Well, how many of y'all know garbage in, garbage out? See, we're all used to meditating in stuff that the Lord says, don't meditate on. So if we want to be healed of our wounds, we have to, number one, make the Word our delight. Are we delighted to hear the Word of God? Sometimes I get a big charge out of, you know, Pastor Wayne, I'm sure you get this, or maybe I'm just the only one that gets it. Pastor Joe, you had a great message today. I'm like, didn't I preach the Word last week or the week before? Oh, today. It was good. You were really on. Ugh. You know, we Americans are so doggone spoiled that we have the Word of God taught, preached, exegeted to us from a very capable man's God and yours truly. And we do it without the fear of persecution when other people have to have Bibles smuggled to their country. And we have the luxury to say, oh, you were wrong today. Aw, shut up.
But maybe it spoke to a certain person.
Right, it did.
And that, you know, more than some of us.
Right, it did. But we ought to be thankful that we have the Word of God, period. So are we making the Word of God our delight? We delight in the Word above anything else, we will be well on our way to wholeness. Amen? We meditate on it. Notice it says day and night. So let me ask you, how often do we find ourselves thinking about the goodness of God, about the blessings of God? Do you realize what I do? You know what God had him do in the Old Testament? He would have him erect stones. And he says, may this be a remembrance of when the younger generation comes by and sees this stone. And if they ask, what's this about? Tell them what the Lord did for you guys back in the day. And I go back in my mind's eye and I think of all the things the Lord has done for me. I've shared many of them with you. I'll post some of them on Facebook. Why? To show, listen, this is real. I don't preach theory. This is real. I remember when, because I goofed off when I went to Oral Roberts University. I was after chasing those blonde girls with blue eyes because I had seen enough of the black-haired ones with brown eyes and dark-complected skin. So I was after them. Oh, yeah, from Wisconsin. They were tall, man, little stocky. And then there were some from California. My. They had the perfect tan. And never mind. They were the perfect tan with a perfect tan. What's so funny, Sheila? They were stocky. They're pioneer stock, bestie. They could withstand cold, brutal winters in the north. Okay, let's move on. So I my GPA suffered greatly. But then once I got married, well, I had greater focus on my studies. It got better, but it was not stellar. But I was still, listen carefully, the Lord opened the door, which I always wanted to attend an honors banquet. But because I screwed up the first couple of years there in search of my blue-eyed wonder, my GPA didn't allow me, I didn't graduate with honors, but the Lord opened the door for me, even though I had not made the grade, to still go by invitation of the president to go to that honors banquet. And you know how it happened? I was a tutor. The campus work study I had, the job I had was a tutor as I tutored people. Get this, a Mexican tutoring other English people, American people on English. And then they promoted me from a tutor to a master tutor. A master tutor tutored the tutors who tutored the Americans about English. And so because I was, listen, and they, my senior year, is this so funny? The tutin' tutors. I didn't say that. I did not say that. This is Mayday, Mayday. They were going downhill. So that year, they named me Tutor of the Year, and that designation, that person in that department of ORU submitted my name to the president, and they approved me attending the honors banquet. I think of what the Lord has done for me. And it just feeds my faith. How many of y'all know that if you magnify the Lord in your heart, in your soul, you will not have a hard time, like I'm having with this wire here, trusting in the Lord. Right? But the Word has got to be our delight. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your goodness, Father. Thank you for your precious Word. Help us, Lord, to embrace this process, to see how we cycle through things. We cycle through events. We cycle, Lord God, through hurt, we escape, we seek instant relief, instant comfort through different aspects of life, Lord, which are empty and are mere mirages of what your Word, Lord God, and your Holy Spirit can supply us in our beings, Father, to make us whole and to make us holy. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all like this teaching? Should we continue along these lines? Yeah. We shall. Okay, thanks, guys.